You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 407. Today is Sunday, June 24th, 2018, and my name is Steve. No Curtis tonight, but I'm joined by Hammy. And before we start, a request that y'all help out the podcast by subscribing, writing a review, sharing links on Twitter and Facebook. We would really appreciate it. All right, Hammy, in tonight's show, we'll discuss this.
Sorry. We'll just really appreciate it. Not there's babies' lives on the line.
You can't start the scene up here, Ham, you know, okay. From our old theater days.
Yes, that's right. Give us a place to
have
build
levels.
To. You got to give yourself a place to build to. All right, fine.
Exactly. All right. So in tonight's show, we'll discuss the significance of this disappointing week, money with the team for the trade deadline, Acuna's return, and the tough schedule ahead. But first, a quick break. All right, so Ham, in a week where the Braves had five games against two sub-500 teams, one of those teams with the worst record in baseball, the Orioles, the Braves went 2-3. So the bullpen betrayed the team at times, the offense disappeared at times, and the starting pitching was not so stout either. So Ham, between Anibal getting knocked around in Toronto, the gut punch of the 15-inning loss Friday, Julio giving up a grand slam like 5 minutes into the game on Saturday. But
without even three men on base, it felt like.
Exactly. Things got pretty dark for me as a fan this week. I got to be honest. So I thought that that's where we should start tonight. Like, how much of this is simply the ups and downs of a long season? You're going to lose at least 60 games.
Yeah.
We talked about, right? But how much of this is just that versus this week pointing up things that are really concerning about the team?
Well, I think it's both a little bit. This is the same weekend where the Rays swept the Yankees. So it happens, right? I mean, sometimes you get hot and you catch a team at the right time and every ball seems to go your way. And then sometimes you are the team that is getting caught at the right time and nothing seems to be going your way. It just happens. So I think there is a big component of that. Maybe more so than anything, but I do think, you know, and you mentioned it a little bit, we are an incomplete team, and the question marks around our bullpen, which we have repeatedly brought up, are still there. I do not think we have a postseason winning bullpen. It showed itself multiple times this week. Even our best Winkler is struggling, right? So I think that's a real concern. I think we're still a good team. You look on Fangraphs, our bullpen is still, you know, sixth in the NL in terms of in a lot of the categories. So we're not horrible, but we're not good enough to continue to be a first place team. Our starting pitching is. You know, as good as it can be, is those days when you get Fulte and Newcomb and Soroka healthy and back-to-back, and it seems like we are unbeatable. You also are rolling dice with Anibal Sanchez, who's an old dude, and we've talked about how lucky we've felt with what we've gotten from him. Tehran is Tehran. His start yesterday was a Tehran start, no doubt about it. So that's going to happen. And I think that could bite us on the butt as we look forward. And then finally, the offense, we're not good enough. We have a lot of young players, a lot of 250 averages. And so if Freddie or Markakis or Flowers or Flozuki, whatever the name is not doing it, we're going to struggle. And that's real, right? That's not just, oh, we got a little cold this weekend. I think the offense, you know, I think Albies will get better. That will lift it up. I think Acuna coming back will normalize things. So I'm not too concerned about the offense. I'm a little concerned about the starting pitching, and I'm really concerned about the bullpen. In terms of postseason, you know.
Sure, long term.
Yeah, and winning the division.
Viz going on the DL, as much of a roller coaster as he's been, it certainly doesn't make things any better in the bullpen. It's interesting. Soroka going on the DL – my God, it makes the starting rotation feel so much different, right? The core of those three guys, when Fulte, Newcomb, and Soroka are all killing it, the starting rotation feels really formidable.
It does. Right? You don't care about who the fifth starter is. That's what I said last week.
And you throw four out of five brilliant starts in from Anibal. You get what you get from
two out of three from Tehran, maybe, or two out of four from Tehran. Yep.
Right, but with Soroka gone, it is dramatically different. So yeah.
Well, because also
you gotta get Soroka healthy.
You
gotta
get yeah. Healthy. Sorry. Yeah, I agree 100%. You can't really be relying on both McCarthy and Sanchez at the same time. I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster. And we can't go back to where Tehran is our one or two starter. You know, I mean, he's got to be – it's got to start with those three guys. And it's for another show, but Soroka going back on the DL so quickly with shoulder issues is long-term troubling.
Yeah, I mean, no structural damage, so that's good. But I don't imagine this is going to be a short stint. And now it means McCarthy is the fifth guy. And as we saw in Sunday's finale against the Orioles, this really feels like who – McCarthy is. You're going to get five innings, three runs. You're lucky. It's going to be more like four or five runs. I mean, I think the great McCarthy that we saw in the first month of the season, I don't know that we're getting him again.
Yeah. And I think
I really don't.
And I think we're probably getting more mediocre Sanchez as the season goes on, which puts more pressure on the bullpen. Right.
Yeah.
And which we can't afford to have, especially when our number two guy, Vizzy, is not there at all. I mean, good God, that just makes it even uglier. Like
yeah, and I do want to just say one thing. I mean, Winkler, I know the Friday night meltdown was not great, and he admitted that it was his first, you know, closing situation. He dreamt of it all his life, and he got freaked out, and he just overthrew and was too amped up. But we saw him again. He looked good Sunday. I mean, Winkler's really good. Yeah. Young, but good. The offense to me is a concern. You know, we haven't talked that much about the offense when the starting pitching has been so good. I mean, I know we've talked about the top of the lineup and that kind of stuff, but the offense needs to get better. I mean, it's what shot us out of a cannon in the first month of the season. And it's just ticked down each month. So we don't talk a lot about WRC plus weighted runs created. But it's one of my favorite stats, right? It quantifies the value of each outcome for a hitter with the focus on creating runs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just for everybody who's not that familiar with it, 100 is average. So Freddie is seventh in all of baseball. He's at 163. Markakis is 25th at 136. One and two are Trout and Betts at 206 and 197. They're pretty good.
Yes, I've heard of them.
So the Braves by month, right? March and April, their weighted runs created was 110.
As a team. Yeah.
In May, it was down to 102. In June, it's at 93.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you prefer OPS, it's gone down every month. 782 in the first month, 748 in May, and 724 in June. Like, you know, the offense has got to – it's got to get better. Now, you know, we saw some good stuff, right? Albies, I think, was 7-for-8 over Saturday and Sunday in the finale. Enders, you know, made an adjustment with a toe tap, and he seems more patient at the plate, and he's hitting. But it's, you know, small sample size stuff. But the offense needs to pick up, and hopefully Acuna's return helps that.
Yeah, you hope so. I mean, there was a whole lot of Preston Tucker and Ryan Flaherty at the beginning of the season, which was not sustainable, right? And Albies and Swanson. I mean, Swanson had a huge BABIP, and those guys are doing great. So I think you got to just discard what we got from Tucker and Flaherty. You got to hope. But then, you know, Albies struggled. Swanson struggled. Acuna was not even doing that great when he got injured.
Right.
You know, I mean, a lot of it was falling on the 3-4-5 slots, Freeman, Markakis, and our catchers. It's not enough. It's not enough to carry us. And so I think this is – I think we're not this bad. I think that, you know, we'll normalize somewhere. But I think we are closer to who we really are now than maybe where we were at the beginning of the season. So I don't, you know, hopefully Albies continues. I think we'll talk about this a little bit later. I think the two slot is better for him. Hopefully he continues to do well. I mean, hopefully Acuna comes back and is put in a spot where he can succeed. But there's question marks there. You know, we're not the best offense in the National League anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And those question marks, I mean, we're going to talk about it later, but those question marks are going to get some more answers between now and the All-Star break, because it's not a real easy road ahead. But we will get there. All right. So, Ham, let's look back earlier this week. The Nationals panicking, traded weeks ahead of the typical trade deadline schedule and traded for Royals closer Kelvin Herrera. So according to MLB Pipeline, the Nats gave up their 10th and 11th ranked prospects plus a lower ranked pitcher, as well as picked up about $4.5 million in salary. So with the Nats a middle of the pack farm system, the Braves would have been giving up guys, let's call it in the 15 to 25 range. So, you know, looking at the prospects and you know, seeing some other guys weigh in, it's probably a package that starts with Dustin Peterson, mm-hmm. right? Not a crazy haul to give up for one of the premier closers in the league.
Right.
So which leads to the question, did the Braves not do this because of the $4.5 million salary? Is there so little available for the trade deadline that they could not pull the trigger on that? So to answer that question, on the one hand, Mark Feinsand wrote an article for MLB.com this week, quoting a source with knowledge of the Braves' thinking around this, saying that they don't have that much money to spend. He goes on to say in the article, Atlanta won't be in a position to acquire a bench player making $4 million, $5 million, or a middle reliever earning $6 million, which on that same hand is kind of depressing.
Yeah.
Because you'd think that's what the Braves would have to pay to really bolster the bullpen. So, but on the other hand, Alex Anthopoulos was on Dave O'Brien's podcast this week, and if you haven't listened to it, I strongly recommend it. It is just terrific from start to finish. So DOB asked him if money was a limiting factor when it came to deadline moves. Anthopoulos said, quote, I believe we will have those dollars available when we think there's a really impactful move to make. So, Ham, parse through it. What do you think the reality is in all this?
Oh, I really don't know. I having listened to Anthopoulos, and I agree with the recommendation, it was a great episode, and DOB's podcast in general is great. I want to believe him so bad. I liked what he said. I know that he is media savvy. He's going to be a little guarded and not give the full truth, but it was just made so much sense. And his point was, you said it, is we're not going to spend money just to spend money, but I still have money to play with. Liberty and Terry McGuirk have given me the license to go spend money if I think it's the right thing to do, but I don't think it's the right thing to do right now. And there's some conversations going on, and we want to give the young guys some time to play, and we just don't see that move that we think is the right move for us right now.
He used the phrase, it won't be a limiting factor.
Yeah.
Which is also kind of hard to believe. Don't you think?
To some
degree. Yeah,
we're not getting Chapman. I agree. But I mean, if there's a guy, I believe him more, right? I mean, I just believe, and maybe it's wanting more than knowing but what he is saying is true. I sort of agree with him. I've said this all along. I don't think we're the type of team, and we just talked about sort of our belief in how good they are right now, that you throw a lot of money to try to make better this year. I think you would be – I don't think you want to give up Peterson for Herrera or something like that. I think we give everybody another year to grow and mature, and we sort of revisit it where we are at the beginning of next season. I hate to say it. I think we're going to end up in second or third place in the NL East. I think we're going to miss the playoffs. And I would hate to have sort of gutted the farm system or taken on, a 2 or 3 year deal or given up a lot of money for this. Cause I don't think it's the thing that makes the difference for us this year. So
Just as a side note, I would have given up
Peterson Dustin for Herrera
in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is very compelling. And the Nats were smart, right? They jumped on it before anybody else could make that move because it was sort of a steal.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But so I don't know. I mean, I never really believe what the cap is or how much we have to spend or really understand it. It always feels like a guessing game.
Because there isn't one, right? There's some number that someone has, and that's McGuirk, and it's Anthopoulos, but we're never going to know what it is. And, money has got to be a factor, or he wouldn't be talking about we need to wait and see. You don't know what the, you know, what the need's going to be as we get closer to the deadline. You know, we're waiting for, you know, potential injuries that'll happen. I mean, he is clearly working within constraints.
Some constraints. But do you think it's as bad as what the MLB.com guy said, and that we have no money to take that on? Do you believe we don't have $4.5 million to spend on a guy?
I bet there's about $5 million to spend, but he, you know, he's needing to spread it around, or at least feels like he needs to have the ability. But it's probably $5-6 million total.
Yeah,
I would guess. Well, it'll all play out. We will see.
Yeah.
All right, Ham. Next up, fair or foul? And let's start with the bullpen. So, fair or foul, Hammy? Peter Moylan should remain in the Braves bullpen.
No. Oh, I love Peter Moylan, but no. I mean, his June. In June, he's posted so far 9.45 ERA. He's given up 7 runs and 6.2 innings. There's a lot of he's had a lot of one out appearances and stuff like that. But when he goes one inning or more, he's a disaster. I just don't think you know what. I'll restate it. Can he stay in the bullpen? Sure. Can he be put in high leverage situations? No. Like I just don't trust him to do that. You know, and I think even more so. As long as he's in there, Snicker will still misuse him and put him in situations where he shouldn't. So I think – I say no. I don't think Moylan should be in there, and I don't know who to replace him with. I mean, we talked about how bad our bullpen is. You know, he is certainly a veteran presence, but I just – I don't feel good about him. I don't feel good about him.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers are terrible. His whip is almost 2. He's walking almost 14% of the batters he faces. His hard hit ball percentage is 38%. His on-base against is .416. His OPS against is .858.
Yeah.
I mean, the only mitigating factor is that his BABIP is pretty high. It's .377. But again, see his hard hit ball rate, right? I mean, those two things are related.
Yeah. The harder you hit the ball, the luckier you get.
So, yeah. I mean, there's just got to be better options. There's got to be better options to have – you know, the back end of the bullpen, I mean, we talked about this some last week, when it's Moylan and Luke Jackson and Lucas Sims. I mean, these are guys you don't want to put into ball games. And they're, you know, they're a sizable percentage of the bullpen.
Yeah.
It's just, it's got to get fixed.
Yeah. I mean, we will not, with Moylan, we will be an average team. He'll get some guys out. I mean, he's still, you know, there's those times he will come in.
Yeah.
And that one out situation and shut some guy down. But like, that's about it, you know? And
yeah. Snicker put him back in on Saturday after his, you know, meltdown in the 15th on Friday. And he got all three guys out.
Yeah. Struck out 2 of them. Yeah.
Yeah. But he missed so badly on that pitch to Machado. I mean, I don't remember who was catching, but the catcher was set up outside and he missed way inside.
Yeah.
I mean, he missed by, you know, 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So, Hammy, Acuna spent the weekend starting for the Stripers. So he is back making his rehab starts. On Sunday, Brian Snitker indicated that he may make a few more minor league starts, but it's safe to say he'll be back with the big club during the Red Series, or I would say at the latest, the Cardinals Series is coming weekend. So, Ham, fair or foul, Acuna will bat 6th in the lineup when he returns. You get all other slots if you want to say foul.
Ooh, wow. Those are good odds.
Exactly.
It seems like the most obvious spot, right? I mean, that's where Santana has been the past couple games, especially to start, right? I think coming back, it's fair. Acuna is in the 6th spot. You're not mixing up the 3-4-5. He's too good. You know, I mean, Swanson is sort of the great in the 8th. You know, Camargo is a good 7.
Is there any possibility that he puts him 1, that he goes back, you know, on day 1 to 1-2 Acuna Albies?
No way. It's Ender. I mean, Ender has to go on a prolonged slump again, I think, before he gets moved from the 1 spot. Maybe not prolonged. And I think Albies, I said this earlier, Albies is – for
me, Albies is going to
– he's a 2. I think he's a number 2 guy. I just think he's better in that spot. Less pressure on him leading off the game. I think he can still make a lot of damage. he did great these past couple games in the two slots. So I think it's going to be Ender for a while until Ender just stops hitting. And like you said, he's figured some stuff out. So that'll take a while, right? Obviously, and then Albies, and then obviously Freeman and Cakes and the catchers. And then I think Acuna makes sense at six. Maybe, yeah. I mean, maybe if he's ripping the cover off the ball, maybe he moves up to five. Maybe.
It's interesting. It's Bowman had an article on Sunday talking to Markakis and Freeman, and the two of them quotes about, you know, what Albies and Acuna did at the top of the lineup. There's no two other guys we love hitting behind.
Hmm.
Which was interesting. So I think eventually he'll end up back at the top of the lineup. But I agree. I think he will be sixth. I wouldn't be crazy shocked if he puts Camargo six and Acuna seven, at least to start. But I'm going to go fair as well, that he'll be batting sixth in his, on his return.
So long term, you want Acuna one, Albies two? You think Acuna is like our leadoff hitter for the foreseeable future? When it, you know, when we sort of get to the where we have the lineup we want.
No, I want him two, and I want Albies five, and I want Cakes one.
God, just let it go.
But seriously, I think.
So
I
then,
think
who's Albies, four?
The catchers.
Okay.
I mean, until such time that, you know, Acuna just starts hitting a bunch of home runs, and maybe you think about it. But I would like Albies in the five and Acuna too, but I think it's going to be a while before any of that happens.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, Hammy, last up. So here's the remainder of the Braves' schedule leading up to the All-Star break. Three with Cincinnati, three at St. Louis, three at the Yankees, four at Milwaukee, ugh, two at home with Toronto, three at home with Arizona to end the first half.
Brutal.
Yeah. For real. So, Ham, fair or foul, the Braves are still in first place at the break.
I'm already preparing myself for the Twitterers of me being so negative. So, let's look at this. The Phillies have the Yanks, the Nats, the Orioles, the Pirates, the Mets, and the Marlins. So, an easier stretch, right?
Yeah.
The Nats have the Rays, Phillies, Red Sox, Marlins, Pirates, and Mets. Also an easier stretch. So coming in, they're playing right now, the Sunday night, the Phillies and the Nats are playing. But if the Phillies win, they're a game and a half back of us. So I don't think so. I think the Phillies win more games over that stretch than we do, enough to take the lead from us.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that at the break, we're going to be in second behind the Phillies and in front of the Nationals. The Nationals and the Phillies are tied at two, by the way, and there is a rain delay.
Oh.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. Nothing like a rain delay. Yeah. Man, it's crazy how just – I mean, it's sort of schadenfreude watching the Nats just not be good.
But it's really so satisfying. Really, did you see that? Did you see that in Saturday's game, Herrera gave up two earned in his appearance, a home run and another RBI?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my God! It would just—I mean,
welcome
after
to Stink
all that,
Town.
And I'm small enough to just wish the worst for Herrera now that he's a National.
But I'm also big enough that when Harper becomes a Brave, to cheer for him.
Yes, me
and
too.
And wait for him to come back. But yes, it goes both ways.
Absolutely. All right, Ham. Next up is Shot in the Dark. But first, a quick break. All right, Shot in the Dark. Our crazy prediction for the week that just concluded. And we'll begin with our listener shot in the dark from Knox Summeror, and a shout out to Knox, who I know has been listening to the show for a long time. So Knox predicted that the Braves would pitch three shutouts this week, and one of them would be a complete game. Oh, Knox.
Oh, Knox.
It was not to be.
Don't stop listening.
Yeah. No zeros on the board this week from the Braves. But thanks for playing. All right. So let's see how the three of us did. So, Ham, you predicted that Soroka would go 7+, give up three hits or less, one run or less. Yeah. The old start leading to the DL stint was not really going to help you there. So 4 2/3 for Soroka, four earned. Kurt predicted the Braves would go 5-0.
That's you and I.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Just without the shot in the dark stakes in play.
That's right. And I predicted that the Braves would score 16 or more runs than their opponents over the five-game stretch. The Braves scored 34 this week while their opponents scored 29. So only plus five for the Braves this week.
Mm. How's it feel lose, Steve? You forget that feeling?
Yeah.
You were on a run there.
I know. So no winners this week. I remain in the lead, up 1-0 for Kurt and Hammy. So, all right. So we know Kurt has texted in his shot in the dark. He is predicting a plus 15 run differential for the Braves just during the Red Series.
Wow. He knows we're not playing in Cincinnati, right?
Right, exactly. Yes. Using his knowledge of the internet.
Yes, exactly. And then he would say bandbox, which he loves to say. It would give him an excuse, yeah.
He really does. All right, Hammy, what do you got?
I say with Acuna coming back that Albies, Swanson, and Acuna combined to hit five or more homers this week.
God, wouldn't it be great if Acuna hit a couple homers?
Oh, yes.
So good. All right, I'm focusing on the Reds because we get Matt Harvey this coming week. So I predict that Matt Harvey gives up at least six earned and does not get to the fourth inning.
All right. How is he doing? I guess you're going to do it in our week ahead.
I will mention that.
I can't
week
wait
ahead.
To hear.
All right. So, folks, remember that you get to play two each week. So get your shot in the dark in before first pitch on Monday via Twitter. And if we pick yours, we'll discuss it on next week's show. And you could win an Atlanta Baseball Talk koozie if you hit it exactly. All right, Hammy, let's talk about the week ahead. Six games this week, three at home with the Reds. Winners of seven straight, of course, and three at St. Louis. And let's look at the pitching matchup. So we have Folty coming off the DL, and he will face Tyler Molly and his 3.89 ERA. Next up, Anibal Sanchez faces Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey has a 5.66 ERA for the season. His ERA with Cincinnati is 4.79. Finishing up the Red Series, Sean Newcomb will face Luis Castillo and his 5.70 ERA. All right, on to St. Louis, where Julio Teheran faces Miles Mikolas and his 2.69 ERA. Next up, Brandon McCarthy will take on Luke Weaver and his 4.59. The whole Teheran followed by McCarthy, it's so uninspiring.
Yes.
All right, and the week finishes up with Folty making his second start. He gets John Gant and his 4.39. So, Hammy, six games. What do you think the Braves do this week?
So I think we go 3-3. I think we continue to struggle a little bit. 1-2 at home against the Reds, and then 2-1 against the Cards.
All right, I'm going with more of a bounce back. I'm going to go 4-2, 2-1, 2-1 this week.
All right. I hope so.
Yeah, it's time to start winning, and it's time for the Phillies to start losing. Because the Phillies are playing their best baseball right now, and the Braves are kind of playing their worst baseball, at least their most inconsistent baseball.
And we're holding on, though, it's true. But yeah, you're right, but it seems tenuous at best.
Yeah. All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spreaker. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to post in our comment section to access all of our old shows there. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Brave!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.